We'd like to welcome our radio audience to the sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church at 333 South Chestnut Street. Here at Trinity United Methodist, we strive to be Christ's hands, feet, and heart in the community. We also invite you to join us Sunday mornings for worship service at 10 a.m. You can also watch our worship service and our Spirit 23 devotions on YouTube. Join us February 21st from 5 to 7 for our community meal. If you enjoy our radio ministry and would like to further the building of His kingdom, you can visit our website at www.dev.tumcseymour.org. And now we'll have our scripture from Exodus 24, 12 through 18, and it's on page 78 in your pew Bible. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and stay here, and I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and commands I have written for their instruction." Then Moses set out with Joshua, his aide, and Moses went up to the mountain of God. He said to the elders, "Wait here for us until we come back to you. Aaron and Hur are with you, and anyone involved in a dispute can go to them." When Moses went up on the mountain, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai. For 6 days the cloud covered the mountain, and on the seventh day the Lord called to Moses from within the cloud. To the Israelites, the glory of the Lord looked like a consuming fire on top of the mountain. Then Moses entered the cloud as he went on up the mountain, and he stayed on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. May God add the blessing to his word.
Amen.
And Pastor Angel will have her sermon 40 days.
40 days. 40 days. 40 days is over and over again in the Bible. Jesus was tempted for 40 days. We have a Lenten journey from Ash Wednesday through to Easter, minus the Sundays, for 40 days. But I've got a story to tell you. Please forgive me if you've heard it before, because it's one of those ones that go around in church circles. You know, you've heard that a lot of times these professors that teach in universities and seminaries teach because maybe they aren't suited to do the other things. Well, there was a couple of these seminary professors gathered together at a restaurant. They walked in chanting, 40, 40, 40 days. They went over to their table. Another three joined them, 40, 40, 40 days. In the middle of the table was something that we couldn't quite see, but it was all framed, and it looked like all the hubbub might have been about that. Five more came in. 40, 40, 40 days. The manager's like, "All right, I'm kind of over this." She comes out, and she's like, "What's going on out here? Y'all are making quite a ruckus. I think you're disturbing people. What's up with the 40 days? And they pointed, all proud of themselves, to the middle of the table there. And there was a puzzle all put together and framed. It was a puzzle of Jonah. And they said that right there. And she's like, "What's the big deal about this puzzle? It just seems like an ordinary puzzle to me." And they're like, "We got together, all of the faculty, and we paid for the puzzle. And then we put it all together. And we put it together in 40, 40 days. She's like, "Uh-huh, okay." They said, "Obviously, it says right there on the side of the box, 2 to 4 years. And we put it together in 40 days. She shook her head, she prayed silently, and she jumped back behind the counter. Everyone thinks that seminary professors have no common sense. You've heard that whole ivory tower thing, right? That they're so out of touch with reality that they do not know how to live in the real world. These professors had gotten tired of being ridiculed, and they put their puzzle together, and they showed it off to everybody who would look at it. But you know, the real issue here is that those seminary professors care just a little too much what other people think of them. Do you care what other people think of you? To be honest, we all care what other people think of us. But we should care more about what God thinks of us than what anyone else could possibly think of us. It's been said before that many Christians were raised with 11, not 10, mind you, 11 commandments. And that 11th commandment is actually a question. What do people think of you? Because we tend to be self-focused, wondering, how do they perceive me? What do they think of me? We are too concerned about what others think of us. We should be concerned about what God thinks of us. It's not about us. It's about God. Today is Transfiguration Sunday. And I challenge all of you to spend from now until Easter time thinking more about others than yourself. The practice of giving up something for Lent is so that we identify with Christ's suffering. But I challenge you, rather than giving something up, if you're used to giving something up, please go right ahead and do it. But usually after the third or fourth week, it doesn't bother you, unless it's coffee. I'll never do that one again. But if you add something in, you will be identifying more with Christ. We have the 40 and 40 that Taylor is doing. We will be reading scripture. We will be walking or moving. We'll walk a mile every one of those 40 days. And while we're doing it, we should be listening to scripture or praying for someone. I'd also challenge you to begin doing acts of kindness. Double points for random acts of kindness where nobody knows you did it. Me and my kids loved doing that so much. We would take something and put it on somebody's doorstep, ring the doorbell, and run like crazy. And then later we'd talk about how they felt when they opened and saw the bag of groceries or the bouquet of flowers sitting on their doorstep. There's even a tradition been going on for the past decade or so that you take something out of your closet or your cabinet every day for that 40 days and give it away to somebody that needs it. Something that you haven't used or worn in years. You get yourself a bag and you start putting it in there. If you're joining us for the 40 and 40, you're adding something in. The text tells us about transfiguration. It reminds us that our God is thinking about us and that He is doing for us and that He promises to continue doing for us. Have you ever really thought about the promises of God? I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Those are some pretty powerful promises right there. Let's look at that Old Testament text for today. The text immediately follows a gathering of elders near Mount Sinai, the holy mountain of God. Here, Moses and the elders celebrated God's presence and guidance. God literally guided them through the wilderness with a pillar of cloud by day, with fire by night. He guided them. He provided for them. There was manna. There was quail. God provided for their every need. Our text begins with the articulation of three crucial aspects of God's forming and guiding presence in the lives of all of God's people. God invites. God's people wait. And God gives. Remember that. God invites. He chased us down. There is prevenient grace, meaning He lured us to Himself. Quite often we have to wait for whatever it is that we are praying for. And then God gives, and He gives more fully to us than anything we can begin to imagine. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and wait there. I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandments which I have written for their instruction." First, God invited Moses up on the mountain, just the same as Jesus invited His inner circle of disciples up on the mountain. Moses was invited to meet with God, like we talked about in Sunday school, to see God's glory. Here, in this place of glory, the Lord would be revealed to Moses in all of His power and all of His intensity. God's glory was so bright, so powerful, so magnificent that He could not be looked upon. He had this promise for Moses. He had the tablets, the law, which if they were to hold to, He would be walking with them throughout the rest of their lives. Imagine the spiritual high Moses was on, climbing that mountain, knowing he was going to spend time with God, knowing he was going to receive God's instructions and bring it back down to the people. Now that is a spiritual high. 2,000 years later, Jesus invited His inner circle of disciples to the mountaintop where they too experienced the transfiguring glory of God. Imagine going up that mountain and seeing Elijah and seeing Moses and then watching your friend, your rabbi, your teacher be transfigured to bright whiteness. They say His clothes dazzled as bright as the sun. There was obviously something going on here. It terrified those disciples to begin with. They fell down at their knees. They were in a holy place. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could live every single day on a spiritual high, on a mountaintop? Who's ever been on a mountaintop high? They're wonderful, absolutely wonderful. And I invite you, the next time you have one of those mountaintop highs, write it down, because you'll be in the valley again and you'll need to remember God's power and God's glory. Wouldn't it be marvelous if we could feel that way every single day of our lives? But we can't. What we do have is God's love and forgiveness. God does think about us with an abundance of steadfast love and mercy. And that holy place obviously can be anywhere. It can be on your knees in prayer. It can be right here before this altar. It can be out in nature. If you can be out in nature and not see the glory of God, I worry about you. God's glory is all around us. And when we seek Him with all of our heart, we will indeed feel His presence. God invites us to be formed, to be transfigured, to be renewed into a new identity as God's own people, as God's holy people. Here could be a spiritual mountaintop high for each and every one of us as we go through the 40 days of Lent, as we give up something to identify with Christ, as we add in something so that we remember that we are being transformed into the likeness of Christ. We can enter our own spiritual high. But you know what? We human beings, we don't always get it. And we sure don't always feel it. How many times do we believe that God has gone away, that He's not listening to our prayers, that He's not thinking of us, simply because we don't have that warm feeling in our chest? That doesn't mean that God is not present. And if somebody has walked away, beloved, it's us, not Him. There was a little girl named Jasmine in the church who listened intently to her pastor's instructions. She was preparing for her first worship anthem, where she would be up in front of the church with 11 other three-year-olds singing Jesus Loves Me. They were all dressed as cherubs. And the pastor told her, as soon as we get done with the offering, when everybody sits down, I want you to walk up to the altar and turn around. And then I want you all to begin singing Jesus Loves Me so loud that people out in the parking lot will hear it. She listened, and after the offering, she came forward with 11 other precious cherubs, and they began singing Jesus Loves Me at the top of their lungs. He told them, leave your parents and come up here. We'll sing Jesus Loves Me, for the Bible tells me so. And they did indeed make a glorious noise to the Lord. The next Sunday came, and little Jasmine remembered the pastor's instructions. So when all the people sat down, little Jasmine came up to the altar and began belting out, Jesus Loves Me. Her poor daddy, he ran forward, scooped her up under his arms, and he began jogging back to the nursery. And she started screaming, help me someone, help me, to all the people in the congregation. She had remembered her instructions. And she came forward. She was faithful in what she was doing. You know, maybe Daddy didn't get it. Maybe Daddy was too worried about what other people would think. Maybe he was worried about what they'd think of his daughter, or even what they would think of him. Have you ever done that? You know, as if our children are extensions of us. And if they do something, we get all freaked out on what people think about it. Jasmine Solo was an excellent example to the second point in our lesson. God's people wait. What is faithful waiting anyway? Again, let's look at our text. After God invited Moses and Joshua to ascend Mount Sinai, Moses instructed the elders, "Wait here for us until you see us again. Wait here. Do not come up the mountain. Wait right here. Aaron and Hur are with you. And if you have any disputes among you, Aaron and Hur will settle those disputes." Faithful waiting for God's people does not mean sitting on our laurels and doing nothing. You know, there's three answers to prayer. No, wait, and yes. And that wait is a pretty frequent one. What do we do while we're waiting? We remain steadfast and faithful. We trust in God's word. We may even go back to the last thing God told us and make sure that we completed that in every way possible. And we wait and we trust that God will indeed answer our prayer. It means hearing God's word and obeying God's teaching. In fact, Moses urged the people to do just that in the verses just prior to this. Exodus 24, 7 through 8. He urged them to wait faithfully, and he left with them his brother and his brother-in-law to help them to wait faithfully. Even though little Jasmine Solo was not in the bulletin, she did proclaim both God's love in word and in deed. And she sang praise. She was proclaiming God's love in that present moment. Her spontaneous declaration of God's love would permeate the soul of every person in that congregation. On that day, Jasmine's faithful waiting became a transfiguring moment for everyone. Note, mind you, that Aaron and Hur were designated by Moses. We've all heard the story when Moses was fighting against the Amalekites. If he kept his arms raised up, they won. But a human being can only do that so long. When his arms became tired and they started coming down, they began losing the war. Aaron and Hur saw this, and they ran to his side, and each took an arm and raised it up through the duration of the war. That way, Moses would be found faithful. They would pursue the faithful waiting of God. Aaron, Moses' brother, was responsible for faithful worship and proclaiming God's word. You remember when Moses tried to use the excuse? Not me, you can't send me, God, not me. I can't talk. I stutter. I can't talk. God's like, yeah, I'll send Aaron with you. He'll help you. You're going, Moses, whether you like it or not. Hur, we believe, was Moses' brother-in-law, was responsible for the faithful obedience to God's teaching. Together, they held the people in faithful waiting until Moses returned to the foot of Mount Sinai. Jasmine did that too. Faithful waiting includes everyone in God's families, brothers, brother-in-laws, mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, aunts, and uncles. Each and every one of us are charged with faithful waiting. when we're waiting for God to heal someone, when we're waiting for God to grow our church, when we're waiting for God's answer to a prayer that seems as if it is life and death to us, we wait faithfully, trusting our God. Sometimes we just don't get it, and frequently we don't feel it. That does not mean that God is not working in our favor. If we can remember the last time that we called upon Him and how He answered, our waiting will become much more faithful. God invites God's people wait. And most importantly, God gives. Maybe not as we would have had it. But in today's lesson, when Moses ascends the mountain, the glory of God settled upon Mount Sinai. They say that it looked like a cloud had dropped over the entire mountain. And then beneath that cloud, they could see a glow of fire. God's glory descended upon the mountain, and nobody could deny that Moses was with God, that what Moses received on those stone tablets was of God. Beloved, we are still called to hold to those Ten Commandments, which I call loving guardrails. Yes, they're commandments. We are commanded to hold to them. For our God knows that if we break one of them, just one, we break our relationship with Him, and often our relationship with those around us. Thereby they are guardrails. You know those guardrails that come along the side of a cliff? And when you're driving, you see that guardrail there. It is meant to protect you from falling over the edge and blowing it. So are those Ten Commandments. When we lie, when we steal, when we cheat, we do damage to our relationship with God, with our own self, and with other people. Our God provided those. And then if that wasn't enough, along come Jesus. He said, well, obviously, 10 was a little much for you, so we're going to summarize all of them down into 2. Love God with your whole self, your mind, your heart, your body, your strength, everything. And then love your neighbor as yourself. Because if we're truly doing those 2 things, we're not breaking any of those 10 commandments. He made it simple for us. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. They were up there for 6 days, covered in clouds. Nevertheless, they were well aware of the real felt presence of God. Why? Because God said so. God invited Moses to see it. God gave the onlookers a glimpse of His glory when He covered that entire mountaintop with clouds. He was showing all the people there below that He was indeed present with Moses. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. God gives us, each and every one of us, His awesome presence. People have asked me before why I pray for God's presence in everything, whether it be healing, whether it be a desperate situation at home, no matter what it is. Because if we feel God's presence with us, we can withstand almost anything on this earth. God reveals His radiant transfiguring presence to us in the waters of baptism. God's words to his Son Jesus Christ echo to us today as well. You are my beloved child. You are my beloved child. These words embrace Jasmine at her baptism. These words clear the clouds that cover our very souls today. Today, Transfiguration Sunday, God invites us with Moses to enter into the cloud, enveloping God's presence. Today, God gives us a taste of abiding love at the altar. Today, here in this place, God shows us his radiant glory through one another, through the preaching of his word, through the singing of his hymns. The wonder of God's beloved Son. God is indeed giving us a spiritual mountaintop high. Nevertheless, there are times we will not get it, we will not feel it, just like those professors with their puzzle. They were far too worried about what people thought of them. Today, Transfiguration Sunday, Mountaintop Sunday, God sends us with the disciples back down into the valley of waiting. When we go to Mountaintop on a mission trip, there's a song that they sing. Ask any of the boys, they'll do it for you. It says, we go back into the valley below to teach them about God's love. God does not and will not ever abandon any of us. God gives us many Jasmines in our life who will surprise us with his wonder and presence. Best of all, God gave us his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, who invites us to journey with him during the 40 days of Lent, for now and forever. That's glory.